Good afternoon. It's a Juno afternoon here, and I'm Andy Klein, your host for today, this Thursday here. And we've got a really interesting, well-rounded show today. We're going to be talking to folks from NAMI on a symposium on wellness that's going to be happening, and then also talking to some of those same folks and also to people from SAIL about a NAMI and SAIL fundraiser that's happening. You just heard a little bit about it happening right there. The run, walk, and roll is happening. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell is going to be here today to talk about a mock election day that's happening and also the voter registration push that he is helping to spearhead in the state of Alaska. And then Sherry Patterson will be here from the Juno Christian Center. They're having a Haven House fundraiser for the housing facility for women who are exiting Lemon Creek Correctional Center. We'll be talking to all those folks coming up today on a Juno afternoon. First, here's National Native News.
Native Voice 1. The Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Last night's first presidential debate made Sesame Street's Big Bird and funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting an unlikely focal point. During the debate, presidential hopeful Mitt Romney declared that he would cut funding to PBS in order to trim the country's budget, in spite of his fondness for Big Bird and debate moderator, public broadcaster Jim Lehrer. Both are supported by funds for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. CPB funds public radio and television stations around the nation, including tribal ones. Shirley Snavey is the executive director of Native American Public Telecommunications, which partners with CPB to produce Native media for radio and television. She says Native American public radio stations rely heavily on federal funding.
As you know, most of these stations, I think there's over 40 right now, are in very rural areas, and they deliver services and programming that actually save lives. If there's a blizzard or fires or other natural disasters, they're the first ones that people turn to get the news. So that would be very devastating to Indian country if the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding was ended.
Snavey says for programs and stations to receive federal funds, they must raise money from other sources, like listeners and businesses. However, with the loss of funding, Native programmers could be forced to fill the financial gap, which she says may be non-existent in some tribal communities.
For example, in Pine Ridge, when you've got unemployment rates of upwards of 80%, where is that base of individual funding going to come from? And also, as far as corporation support is concerned, there just aren't that many businesses in that coverage area that can afford to open up their pocketbook and help support these kinds of services.
President Obama did not respond directly to Romney's comment. Efforts to slash CPB funding failed in Congress last year. Quantic Broadcast Corporation, the parent company of National Native News, receives funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The federal government is giving money to an Oklahoma tribe to study water quality in its region. KGOU's Kurt Gortney has more.
The Ottawa Tribe of Oklahoma has been awarded $120,000 for its program to control water pollution. The grant to the tribe, based in the far northeast corner of the state, comes from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The funds will be used to assess surface water quality on tribal lands. The tribe will also compile data which may show changes over time and determine if it needs a more thorough watershed management program. The information will determine whether or not water quality standards are being met. The money will also help the Ottawa tribe keep track of the quality or condition of its water and provide for planning to improve the health of stream ecosystems. The tribe's area includes abandoned lead and zinc mines that are part of a federal Superfund pollution site. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney.
The University of South Carolina is opening a new center on Native American studies, research, and artifacts. A dedication ceremony is taking place today in Lancaster. According to the university, the center will be home to the largest collection of Catawba pottery in existence. It will also house a 200,000-piece collection of artifacts from the Ice Age to the present. It sits on land once held by the Catawba Nation. The tribe is located about 20 miles away. The center boasts 15,000 square feet of gallery space, archives and classrooms, and language and oral history labs. The university worked with tribes, businesses, and the city of Lancaster on the project. The university's Native American Studies program is unique in the state. Tribal leaders in Manitoba, Canada, are asking communities to participate in the first National Day of Remembrance. The Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs says it's to support the families of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. There are more than 600 cases across the country, many involving Aboriginal women. During this month in 2009, the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians of Montana lost its decades-long federal recognition fight. The Bureau of Indian Affairs denied the tribe status after a more than 30-year wait. The tribe continues to seek federal status. Last year, the tribe went before the U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. Tribal leaders are concerned about the state of current legislation in Congress due to the upcoming election. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
National Native News here on a Juneau afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you in the studio. Thanks for joining us. The forecast today is calling for light rain for the rest of the day, and then tonight light rain likely in the evening, but diminishing, and then just mostly cloudy skies, areas of drizzle and fog, chance of rain tomorrow, mostly cloudy, same forecast for tomorrow night, and then getting into just mostly cloudy and cloudy skies for Sunday, and Sunday night, partly cloudy, heading into Monday and Columbus Day and Monday night. And then partly cloudy skies and mostly cloudy for Wednesday as well. So maybe a little bit of better weather coming our way. That would be a fun thing, especially as we're going to be talking about a fun run, walk, and roll coming up a little bit later with some folks here in the studio. And one of them is going to be right here with me, which is Katie Chapman. Katie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We want to talk first and foremost. There's a couple of things on the bill here for NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and you, who you work for here in Juneau.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit later about that as we have people come in from SAIL and talking about that fun event. But we wanted to talk first about this really interesting thing, a symposium on wellness that's happening.
Right. On Monday, October 8th, we are sponsoring a symposium on wellness. It'll take place at Centennial Hall. And there's a few different things going on at the symposium. First, from 5 to 6:30, there's going to be a variety of providers and businesses from the community there with their resources available for the community to check out. And it's all centered around the theme of wellness. So there will be folks there from the Shambhala Center, Rainforest Yoga. There's a couple of nutritionists who will be there. And then some of the more traditional sort of providers on wellness, like mental health clinic and the substance abuse treatment center will be there
but
as well.
It touches on, you're touching on an issue, and we've got some folks on the line we're going to get to in a moment here, but touching on this really interesting and important issue that's happening as we find out more about illness and a mental illness. We find out more about all these different things that may affect people's mental well-being mm-hmm. that we never thought of before, you know?
Right.
Excuse the pun, but we've always been so close-minded
right.
about the things that might be affecting people's mental illness.
Right.
And it's a really interesting, it's this burgeoning field that's happening right now, figuring out all these other elements that might be contributing to the well-being that people have.
Right. Mentally. At NAMI, we really try to educate families and individuals that it's just as important as having a psychiatrist or taking medication as, to take care of your health, like to eat healthy and to exercise. And so we want to provide the opportunity for the community to come and see that wide range of opportunity that they have here in Juneau to access those resources.
We've got a couple of folks on the line from Austin, Texas. Carolyn Marsalis. Carolyn, are you on there?
I am.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us. And Carolyn, now will you be here for the Wellness Symposium?
Yes, I will.
All right.
I'll be arriving on Sunday.
Great. So making the trip up, that's terrific. We hope you get some good weather. Bring some of that Austin weather with you. Maybe not as hot as we were used to there, but you have a really interesting thing that you deal in and talking about these different things we maybe never thought of before that have an impact on people's mental well-being, and you deal with food allergies and how that might affect people's mental well-being.
Yes, that is correct. I will be speaking from my personal experience in having been diagnosed with mental illness most all of my life, from about age 15 to 47 before I got diagnosed. And I will be everything that changed, the things that changed were my the foods that I removed, and I had a dramatic improvement.
Can you touch on that a little bit? What were some of the symptoms? What was your life like? And then what were the things you took out that kind of made this radical difference?
Well, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I've also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and a multitude of other issues. And all what I took out, I have since taken out several other things, but the thing that I took out that made the biggest difference for me in the emotional arena was gluten. And that alone is my top number one thing that I talk about.
It's interesting because we're here. I have friends, and maybe many people have friends who've gone onto a non-gluten diet, but often it's just related to weight or other issues like that, or heart, or you know, those kinds of things. And people talk about these miraculous, you know, for the people who really have that sensitivity to gluten, it seems to manifest itself in all kinds of ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, fascinating.
And for me, every time I have an accident, I have the same symptoms occur.
Wow, okay.
Straight back into the same symptoms for a minimum of 5 to 6 days. And then I'm free again.
It's when you say, and you mean when you mistakenly take in gluten?
Yes,
I see.
If I eat out or make a mistake.
Yeah, just one crouton, man.
Yeah, no, I don't need a crouton.
No croutons.
I don't volunteer. I do not voluntarily eat that.
Get those croutons out of there. Well, Well, that is fascinating. Now, and have you expanded that? It sounds like you've also done a lot of research and expanded that on past just gluten, but other things. What are some of the things that people, some of the kind of things that you found that are actually food related that then manifest themselves as a mental illness?
Well, that is the most important thing. I was gluten free for a year before I found a medical group here in Austin that actually tests for food allergies, and then I was diagnosed with many more. So once I removed those, I felt a lot better because I wasn't giving myself stuff that I was allergic to. But the gluten is the primary thing for the mental health for me.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, also there with you in Austin, I think sitting in the same room with you, is Robin Priest, and she is someone who deals with another area of this symposium on wellness, which is peer support. She's going to be in Juneau as well. Do you mind handing the phone over to her, and we can talk to her for a minute as well?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Tell me a little bit about this idea. Now, this, to me, we were just talking about something that's sort of a non-traditional idea about mental illness. To me, what you're talking about is something that just sort of makes good common sense about mental illness, that you need peers that are with you on your journey and with you, sort of encouraging you to help get better.
Well, I guess that's the thing. I mean, I think of it as common sense. It's having people who have had some similar experiences talking to each other. I mean, when I talk about it, I compare it to like having a mother with a young child, you know, particularly a baby, trying to work out what's happening for that baby. It's just crying. And you go to another mother who's had a baby and talk to them about what do? How do you do it? It's the same concept for peers with mental health or drug and alcohol issues. If I'm in the midst of it, talking to someone who's gone through it and come out the other side, they can talk about their experiences of the kind of things that help them. And I think it just makes a big difference for people to hear that you can come through it, you can live a great life, and what are some of the ways that other people have done that?
Yeah. The one thing I would think that might get in the way of that is that mental illness, of course, has this stigma in our society especially. So it might be that people aren't that, wanting to come forward with symptoms or with things that have happened in their life because it's very personal, and also because sometimes people are ashamed of what's happened in their life when it comes to mental illness.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I mean, we're talking about, in America, it's 1 in 4 people have experienced a mental illness like within a year. So in a small group of people, there's lots of people that have it, and it is the stigma that stops people. One of the good things is that many people are starting to speak up and want to support people. So they are actually, so to speak, coming out of the woodwork to help fellow people who are suffering at the time. And it's just one of the fastest growing fields. And there's a lot of voluntary, people are doing it voluntarily around the state and around the world. But it's also a lot of people are now starting to be paid for those positions. And they look at it as one of the fastest growing workforce occupations over the next 10 years.
Well, it must be gratifying to be in your field right now and see that there's that little bit of, there's somewhat of a more commonly shared knowledge, and people are starting to come out and come forward when it comes to this sort of peer support.
It's kind of one of those things you think, I wish it could happen faster. And I've got to say, in Alaska, it's being really supported, and I think it just makes common sense, because you can have peers who have similar experience anywhere. And so if you're looking at some of the villages, people can't always get in there, clinicians can't always get in there, but generally in some of the, in the villages, there's a peer there already who can support someone else. So I think it's just about communities supporting each other and being free to do that without the stigma and discrimination. It's going to take some work, but I think it's just going to grow and grow and grow.
Katie, tell me a little bit more about some of the details. Give me the deets. How can people get involved in this symposium?
So the symposium, just show up. It's free, open to the public. Come Centennial Hall, Monday, October 8th, 5 o'clock to 6:30 will be the wellness fair, and then Carolyn will speak from, and she'll have a guest with her too, Amy Pierce, from 6:30 to 7:30, and then Robin Priest will present from 7:30 to 8:30.
And who do you want? I mean, of course, people maybe who've struggled with this kind of thing, great, you'd want them, but what is the broader audience that you would hope would come to this?
I think everybody. I think everybody needs the education about the resources that are available in the community, because we all have mental health. And, it, you know, it's just, it's on a continuum of good days and bad days. And sometimes those bad days can last longer and develop into more serious problems. So I think, I mean, it's for everybody.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks so much. Stay put. We're going to talk about the next issue right now. But Carolyn and Robin, I want to let you go and let you get on with what you're doing there in Austin. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, you.
Teenage Mary said, Uncle Dave, I saw my soul must be saved. Gonna take a walk down Union Square. You never know who you're gonna find there. You gotta run, 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 run. Take the dragon too. Run, 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 run. Jim's the death of you. Hey, what to do?
Run, run, run. That's Velvet Underground. And we've got someone who just joined us who's pretty familiar with running. Tristan, how are you?
I'm good.
Tristan Knutson Lombardo is here. Yeah.
Okay.
I hear you just fine. Thanks so much for joining us. And Katie, you stuck around as well because you guys are, your two organizations are collaborating on a really interesting fundraiser, the Run, Walk, and Roll. It's happening Saturday, 10 a.m. at Twin Lakes. Tell me a little bit about what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is the second annual event that SAIL and NAMI have put on together. So we've called it Run, Walk, and Roll. It's all abilities are welcome to join us, and it's a poker run. So it's less about how fast you run or walk, and more about the deck of hand or the card, the hand of cards that you're dealt. So.
Yeah, yeah, really interesting. So how did NAMI kind of get involved with this? If SAIL has had a tradition, only fools run at midnight and stuff like that, of kind of doing these, how did NAMI get involved?
Because we want to be like SAIL.
That's right. Hey, who doesn't? No. They're really cool over there.
They are great. Very cool. They are wonderful. And we partner with them on some other things that we do. We have a peer support group for women who have bipolar and depression. And so they're, you know, we support each other, and we share similar missions. So it just makes sense that we, you know, come together and partner on this and bring awareness. And also, mental illness is a disability. You know, we often fail to see that disabilities can be emotional and mental and physical. So makes sense.
Yeah. Tristan, just for those not familiar with SAIL, I mean, I know you guys are everywhere in the community, but just tell me a little bit about the mission of what SAIL is all about.
SAIL is a resource center for people who experience disabilities as well as seniors. So we provide a wide range of services. A lot of people have seen the ORCA program, the recreation program up on the mountain on the weekends in the winter, or we go kayaking, bike riding, things like that. But we also provide assistance with transportation. We have a popular taxi voucher program, getting people signed up with a bus or caravan. We also connect people with resources in town if they come in and they maybe need to find care coordination or housing, things like that. We have a real popular loan closet, so people come in and borrow wheelchairs or walkers, things like that. We have support groups that we either help facilitate or we run ourselves. We have an interpreter referral line, so if somebody needs sign language interpretation, they can request that through us. So
I know one thing you guys do that's really interesting is you do home assessments on if someone has a disability or maybe has a new disability or maybe someone's elderly and not able to get around as well. You go in, you figure out ramp location, all that kind of stuff.
That's
right?
it's actually kind of a newer service we've been providing over the last couple of years, but it's one of the ones that's in high demand just as in the population of America in general is aging. The notion of aging in place is really important. People don't want to have to move to a assisted living facility if they don't want to, so they want to be able to live at home. So we say, well, if we put a grab bar here, a ramp here, this is how you can kind of stay at home where you want to be. So
yeah, you guys do great work and just help facilitate people having rich, full lives. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. So so tell me a little bit. So you said it's the second annual. Is that right? Or third annual?
It's the second annual.
Second annual.
Yeah.
How many people showed up last time and what was it like
time? You know, last year we had almost 70 people show up, which is kind of a surprise. We just kind of threw it together and all the people, I think you put poker in there and everybody says, all right, I'm showing up. So we actually ran out of, we only had a deck of cards. You know, you run around, the route goes up by Hospital Hill there and then out along Twin Lakes. And as you go around Hospital Hill, you collect a card. So the stops are Bartlett Hospital, the Family Birth Center, Search, SAIL, and JAMI.
So a five-card stud? Is that
five,
what we're
five card stud,
okay.
Yeah.
No,
and,
no draw. You don't get to draw?
Well, you know, last year was a little confused. There's some confusion. People were trading cards, like, with themselves. So we had, like, six straights. And I don't know.
Hey, man, make a deal, you know?
So
I need twos.
We might do two-card draw, so at the end there. But it has to be through one of the official deck holders.
Okay.
Not how you and your friend can make the best
possible
cards.
Right.
But anyway, we ran out of cards last year, so that was a good sign, I guess. So we'll have enough cards this year, and it'd be great to see a few more people show up than 70.
Yeah.
We wouldn't complain.
Yeah, and sure.
The weather's looking great for the weekend, so
well, great.
That's
yeah,
a bonus.
That's right. We just were talking about the weather, right? This is happening Saturday morning, and it looks like Saturday just mostly cloudy skies, no rain in the forecast, and then just cloudy skies for Saturday night. So getting clearer and clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's convenient. Thanks for the report.
Very good, yes. Well, once again, it's the NAMI and SAIL fundraiser called Run, Walk, and Roll. It's happening Saturday, 10 a.m. at Twin Lakes. Tristan and Katie, thanks so much.
Oh, 9 a.m. at Twin Lakes.
Oh, I've got 10 a.m. here.
Sorry.
9 a.m.
So come between 8 and 9 to register.
There's been a correction. 9 a.m. at Twin Lakes is when the Run, Walk, and Roll happens. Katie and Tristan, thanks.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Teenage Mary said to Uncle Dave, I saw my soul must be saved. Gonna take a walk down Union Square. You never know who you're gonna find there. You gotta run, 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 run. Take the dragon too. Run, 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 run. Jim's the death of you. Hey, what to do? Margarita Passion, I had to get her fixed.
She wasn't well. She's getting sick. Went to sell a soul.
Well, more run, 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 but a different kind of running is happening now as the political season is starting to heat up. It's election season, and with me right now is Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell. Thanks so much, Lieutenant Governor, for joining us.
How are you?
And you, as one of the big functions of being a Lieutenant Governor, you run the Division of Elections. That's under your office. And so election season is a big time for you.
This is a big time, and I've been speaking to high schools around the state. I was in Bethel yesterday, did this in Anchorage, a couple of high schools, and here at the two high schools in Juneau today.
Specifically doing a voter registration drive.
Encouraging those who are 18 to register to vote and those who are going to be 18 before Election Day to register. The last day to register is Sunday, the 7th of October. It's 30 days before the election, and which is November 6th. And we registered probably a dozen kids today, all told.
That's great. I was just telling you that KXLL, we've been having this voter registration drive for especially younger voters, because that's who's listening to KXLL. So we've kind of been targeting places where kids might hang out. And it's been so great to talk to kids about just becoming politically involved. You see kids come by, they maybe haven't thought about it yet quite. They've just recently had a birthday or something, and they're like, yeah, actually, I do want to register to vote. And they really, you can really see them feeling a sense of pride for signing up.
Well, you know, we not only focused on registering. Alaska, it's hard to tell what percentage of the eligible population is not registered. We have a pretty good census with the permanent fund dividend. And when we compare that list to our voter list, we found probably about 20,000 people who weren't registered to vote. So that's pretty good. We just sent a postcard, a kind of a happy birthday postcard to everybody turning 18 this year who's eligible. And we've been doing work in the schools. There's going to be a mock election held in many of the schools to do that. Government teachers are getting on board, and student government kids are getting on board, too. It's really exciting.
Tell me about that mock election. What happens there?
That's actually something where your school can set it up, sign up an online election, and then you can hold a mock election in your school from October 25th to November 1st. And so one thing I did at the high schools here today is the student governments. We collected probably 8 or 10 volunteers. We're making the voter ambassadors. I've told them, hey, do that, and it's a good thing to have on your college resume. So the kids got involved in that. And they'll set up an online voting thing, maybe at the school lunch hour or maybe at the lobby of the school as kids come in, and they'll be able to vote.
Are you guys specifically targeting younger voters? Is that something you want to try to get that involvement of younger voters, or is this really a drive for everyone? Or
well, here's what we're doing. As far as a drive for everyone, we want to make sure that Alaska is one of these places where there are no impediments to getting you to register to vote. We do have a 30-day requirement, and I think that's important because that allows us to make sure that what goes on the books is accurate and so forth. We do want to clean off our voter rolls, and we do want to know who you are when you show up to vote. But, you know, the voter ID we send out doesn't have a picture on it. And you can vote without an ID if you're known to the election officials. And you can do a question ballot any time, and we'll check it out later. So we're not trying to suppress anything at the polls. And, in fact, there was a mother from Juneau who said to me, hey, my kid was in Afghanistan, and he couldn't fax his ballot back. So we've actually just gone into operation with a way to send your ballot back electronically if you're overseas. So we're doing everything we can using the new technology to help people vote, but make sure the election has got integrity. Because if we have something close like we had with the Miller-Murkowski write-in, you know, dispute as an example, the entire world wants to see you count those ballots and wants to see the signatures on the envelopes and things like that to make sure it's all done right. So you can't do it totally by computer, but you can do a lot of it.
It's one of these interesting jobs where, you know, everyone just assumes it's going to be done right. But if it ever in some way doesn't get done perfectly right, that's when it's this horrible.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, one of the things talking to the kids, you know, we're only about 235 years into having an America since 1776. That was really the first place in the world we threw out the kings. We began to end the age of kings. And an age of kings, the king can go off with your head. You know, there are people in jail in Russia today because they wrote songs that the government doesn't like. There are people in jail in China today because they suggested you ought to have more than one party. And if you don't voting is one of these things like exercise, you know, your muscles. If you don't exercise your right to vote, you know, who's going to know? You're going to lose your freedom, not with a bang, with a whimper, you know, and it's just part of vigilance. So we had kids read. We had some great statements by Jefferson and Madison and Roosevelt and the head of the League of Women Voters and others, where the kids were reading them, and we talked about those statements in these assemblies. They've been pretty cool assemblies.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Well, so registering people to vote, making sure especially young people who haven't ever voted before get registered to vote, those are things. Now, coming up on this big election and this big election cycle, what are some of the other big challenges that's happening with Division of Elections right now? When you come up on a big election like this, what are some of the things that you are looking at to really make sure you're concentrating on?
Well, first off, we've just gone through redistricting. And so we sent a voter card out to every voter, and some people will have had changed voting places. And so on your voter card, there's one of those little patchwork quilt things that it's a QR code, so that'll take you to a website that'll show you where your new voting place is if it's a new place. If you're not at the same place, they know where to send you. But, you know, we just want to make it convenient for voters to know where it is. And here in Juneau, I think things are by and large the same. But there are some places around the state where that's changed. We got voting back on base up in Fairbanks at Fort Wainwright, where the Clinton administration, believe it or not, had thrown ballots off base. We drew the precinct line, so the base was the precinct. So we had it on base. We tried to do that in Kodiak, and it caused enough problems with everybody off base that we ended up just setting up an absentee voting stop at the airport near the base. We have got this new thing so that people overseas can vote more easily. So all those challenges, getting those systems in operation. But one thing I will say is a continuous challenge for election officials is getting poll workers. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where in Washington and Oregon, they don't even have balloting places anymore. They just do it all by mail. And I happen to believe that, you know, having a finish line on election day makes sense. I happen to believe the process of going out in your community and voting is an important thing to do. And I actually believe it's one thing you can do to help fight fraud. So we have told kids you can work in the polls if you're 16 or older. And I think we're pretty well covered for this election. But anybody who would like to work in polls, contact the Division of Elections because we would love to have you. And we need a whole new generation of poll workers.
All right. So it's coming up. The last day to register is the 7th. Is that right?
Last day to register is Sunday.
No, that's just for the general election. You can register any time, but in order to vote for the general election coming up.
Exactly. And so if you have any questions, go to elections.alaska.gov. You can download an election registration form. You can send it in electronically. You can go drop it off at the elections office here in Juneau downtown. There will be others who may be doing it at Pelmini at midnight on Saturday.
It's been done.
It's been done. But the point of it is there's really no reason why we shouldn't be able to help you register to vote.
Fantastic. Well, Mee Treadwell, Lieutenant Governor of the State of Alaska, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And
thank you,
and
Andy.
Have a great election.
Thanks for all you do. We're going to have a great election. And, you know, it's kind of funny. In Juneau, the legislative seats are either unopposed or Senator Egan's the only one who does not have to run this year of the 40 of the 60 legislators. He's the only one who's in the same district that he was 2 years ago. So I know people in Juneau want to get out for the congressional race, and there's some other ballot measures too. There's a question of a constitutional convention. There's a bond issue. So there's really good reasons to get out and vote.
As always, and the most important reason is to exercise your right as an American.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Mead.
It's the perfect way to cap off First Friday, swinging in the rain. Juno Jazz and Classics proudly presents jazz pianist Barney McClure and the cabaret performances of students from this week's workshop. Great music, a no-host bar, and light snacks. It's the perfect night out. For more information and tickets, visit jazzandclassics.org or head to Hearthside Books or The Jack. This Friday, October 5th at 8 for Swingin' in the Rain.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 4th of October, 2012. It's the birthday of Edward L. Stratemeyer, Elizabeth, New Jersey, 1862, one of the first American writers to capitalize on the new market in children's literature, which was created by universal primary education. At the time, most books written for children were little moral lessons, but Edward L. Stratemeyer decided to write adventure stories with recurring characters. He wrote The Bobbsey Twins. He wrote a series called The Outdoor Girls, another called The Motor Boys, later The Hardy Boys, and then a series about a girl detective named Nancy Drew. It's the Nancy Drew books that were the most popular that Stratemeyer ever published. He created one series after another, and there was such a demand for the work that he created the Stratemeyer Syndicate. He wrote the outline for each story himself, and then he hired fiction writers, dozens of them, to bang out the actual books under a variety of pen names. Kept writing until he died in 1930, and then his two daughters took over the syndicate. One of them, Harriet, wrote a number of Nancy Drew books. It's the birthday of Roy Blunt, Jr., born Indianapolis, 1941, raised in Decatur, Georgia. Freelance writer for more than 100 different publications, author of more than 20 books. His latest, Alphabetter Juice, or The Joy of Text. Roy Blunt, who said, "Language seems to me intrinsically comic. Noises of the tongue, lips, larynx, and palate rendered in ink on paper with the deepest and airiest thoughts in mind and the harshest and tenderest feelings at heart." It's the birthday of Damon Runyon, Manhattan, Kansas, 1880, known for his distinctive stories about New York street life, written in vernacular, most of which Damon Runyon created in his own head. It's the birthday of the comedian Buster Keaton, born in Pequa, Kansas, 1895, to vaudeville comics. The boy became part of the act when he was just 3 years old and got big laughs being thrown around, taking falls with a very serious look on his face. He created a deadpan style that was not as popular as Chaplin's Little Tramp character or Harold Lloyd's optimistic young man in the suit. But he made some great movies, The Navigator and The General and The Cameraman, in the mid-20s. Here's a poem for today by David Wagner, The Escaped Gorilla. When he walked out in the park that early evening just before closing time, he didn't take the nearest blonde in one arm and climb a tree to wait for the camera crews. He didn't savage anyone in uniform, upend cars, or beat his chest or scream. And nobody screamed when they found him hiding behind the holly hedge by the zoo office, where he waited for someone to take him by the hand and walk with him around two corners and along a pathway through the one door that wasn't supposed to be open and back to the oblong place with the hard sky where all of his unbreakable toys were waiting to be broken, with the wall he could see through, but not as far as the place he almost remembered, which was too far away to be anywhere. The Escaped Gorilla by David Wagner, from A Map of the Night, published by University of Illinois Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hi, this is Scott Wagner.
And I'm Steve Schick. We're realtors with the Southeast Alaska Board of Realtors.
We understand the strong communities start in the home.
And that violence against women is destructive to women, families, and communities.
While not all men use violence,
we believe that all men have a responsibility to end it.
Through the White Ribbon Campaign,
I pledge not to commit, condone, or remain silent
about violence against women because
Alaska men choose respect.
This message brought to you by Juneau's Violence Prevention Coalition.
Of light rain and drizzle for the rest of tonight, and periods of light rain and drizzle tomorrow as well. Diminishing in the afternoon and decreasing clouds for tomorrow night. That's in the forecast. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you, and joining me right now is June Degnan. June, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here in Juno.
And June, you've got a really interesting project that is being undertaken, which is a project called the Haven House. And this is a housing facility for women who are exiting Lemon Creek Correctional Center. And you have an evening of worship based on this, sort of helping do some education on this and also some fundraising. Is that right?
Yes, that is. This is our coming out party, and it's going to be spearheaded by Sherry Patterson, who's a gospel singer. And we're going to call it the Night of Song and Worship, and it's going to occur on Saturday, October 6th at 6:30 p.m., and the location is at the Juno Christian Center, which is across from Fred Meyer's.
Tell me a little bit about the vision of this center.
Well, the center has been a concept that came about 30 years ago from a wonderful person called Ellen Campbell, and she doesn't live here presently, but she's down stateside. So we have a board of directors, which is a not-for-profit, 501c3, and we call ourselves the Haven House, and there's a board with 9 members, and we're developing this plan of a halfway house for women coming out of the Juno Correction, the Lemon Creek. And according to Ellen, we've discovered that when women exit prison, there's really no place for them to go, and so it's a recidivism rate that increases. And so what we're trying to do is short circuit that and have a place where women will have a year's place. It's safe shelter, and they'll have access to counseling and education.
You can imagine someone getting out of prison, having been in for however long, and you're just back. You don't know people necessarily. Maybe you fall back in with the same group of people that maybe was not a good influence at one time. Those kinds of things, you can see patterns developing, and also people just being in a compromised situation and just feeling like maybe they have nowhere to turn.
That's true, because being incarcerated tends to destroy your self-esteem. You know, you may be there for reasons through the justice system, but sometimes that doesn't work and it destroys us, and we really need to do better. And we found that at the bottom rung of institutionalized people are women, and women come to it with in need of a lot of help. And the women we've seen and spoken to really need some place where they can have a time to regroup and become citizens, better quality citizens, or more with self-esteem and self-assured in this place. And this is what we're hoping to achieve.
Is there a goal about how large of a facility it would be and that kind of thing?
Well, we're starting out small, and we're looking towards 5 to 6 women who will stay there for a year. But we're still in this planning stages, and so that may change. But eventually we would hope that this would grow, and people from other areas of Alaska have asked me about it, and they're interested too because the interest is there for this type of facility because it is needed.
And something that seems like it would benefit the entire community to have people coming out and able to contribute and be in a better place to contribute and that sort of thing as well, and you know, not continue, as you say, to get back into some of behavior that maybe landed them in incarcerated in the first place.
Yes, we've heard from a lot of people, and we're gaining this momentum because it's needed here in the community, and not just in Juneau, but we're reaching out to Southeast Alaska. So, the women who are in Lemon Creek come in from the other towns and mm-hmm. villages besides. So we will include them in that.
Tell me about what's happening Saturday night. Sherry Patterson, a beautiful singer.
Yes, just a wonderful singer. So we're calling it a night of worship, and we're welcoming the communities, and you'll get to hear more about Haven House. We'll have our board members there to talk about it, and hopefully we'll be able to raise some funds.
Is there a way that people can begin to maybe be a part of the process of developing the idea behind this, of contributing their ideas, that sort of thing?
Yes, we do. On the internet, we have a website. It's called Haven House, Inc., so you can connect to us with that. And at our event on Saturday, we'll have flyers and envelopes with our address and phone number and how better to reach us.
Is this also a fundraising effort as well? Or are you hoping that people will bring their checkbooks, as they say?
We're hoping that'll happen, but the event itself is free. There's no charge for that, so everyone is welcome. But hopefully we will be able to pick up some support.
Always helps.
Always helps,
that
yes.
That always helps.
Right.
Well, June, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about this. Once again, it's an evening of worship happening with Sherry Patterson, and it's going to be happening Saturday at the Juneau Christian Center, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and it's all about educating and possibly raising funds as well, if you bring your checkbook, as we were just saying, about the Haven House and the idea behind providing a housing facility for women who are exiting the Lemon Creek Correctional Center. And thank you for coming in. Appreciate
thank
it
you
so
for
much.
Having me.
Okay.
All right.
Invasive weeds are a problem in Alaska worth paying attention to. They harm hunting, fishing, and wildlife viewing, and threaten Alaska's farming industry. But you can help fight invasive weeds. To get a free pocket field guide, report invasive weed sightings, or to get more information, go to alaskainvasives.org. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Association of Conservation Districts, the Division of Agriculture, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Nancy DeCherney is now joining me. There's invasive weeds across the street?
There are.
What are they?
Daisies.
Oh.
Oxeye daisies.
And those are invasive weeds?
Those are invasive weeds, yeah. There's some daisies that are not, but the ones that we apparently have are.
Well.
So when you see them, off with their heads. But, you know, speaking of that, tonight at 5:30.
I knew you'd work this into an Arts Up segment. Let's go.
All right. Manufactured Landscapes is the UAS Environmental Film Series out at Egan Lecture Hall tonight, and it's free at 5:30, so you can see what they say about daisies.
About landscapes and all kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. What else is going on?
Let's see. There's a couple of things to know. Alaska Litho's 65th Anniversary Digital Photo Contest. You need to get your photos in by the 12th.
Okay.
So you can send in 5 photos to photos@alaskalitho.com. Let's see, Mice and Men. This is your last weekend to see Mice and Men. Did you see it?
I might be going tonight.
You better go.
I've been asked. I don't know.
I'm sure you have been asked.
I've been asked. So, I might go.
Okay, then. But I suggest that you go.
Well, good. I am hearing nothing but rave reviews about Mice and Men.
Totally.
It's supposed to be great.
And this is, like I said, the last weekend. And when I checked this morning, there were only 10 seats left for Saturday.
Okay.
So heads up on
yes.
that. Call now.
It's a huge weekend coming up. Friday, yes. Starting on Friday. I know it's a crazy weekend. So let's... Let's roll.
Okay, first Friday. Come over to the Arts Council first thing at 4:30 and get your guide. There are so many things going on. I had to use up the whole alphabet in itemizing all the things that were going on. So Aunt Claudia Dahl thing is open. I'll do it in alphabetical order.
Okay, starting with go. A.
Okay, Adorn. These are the people behind Paradise Cafe. They have Bridget Milligan has come out with a new design for a coat, and they're showing jewelry by Kim Mitz. Alaska Robotics, new stuff by Pat Race. It's all sort of Poseidon, mermaids, and whales.
I've seen a little of it, and it's really cool.
All of it is cool.
Yep, I've seen it.
It goes without saying.
Yes.
Alaska State Museum, this is your last weekend also to see the Dan Drew Hilarious History of Alaska, and when Over There Was Over Here, they're going to close this after this weekend. And also, it's Filipino-American History Month, so they have a very special exhibit opening Friday night with Filipino refreshments and speeches. And
amazing costumes that are from the Philippines that have been brought in especially for this. Incredible stuff happening over there. So, yeah, Alaska State Museum, that's going to be really cool.
Really nice. Alaska Brewing Depot is going to be open. They have the Hillbilly Honeys and a new release of their Winter Ale. Okay, you can't go wrong there.
I like it. That's you know where I'm going to be.
Now that's art.
Now that is art. The Hillbilly
Well,
Honeys.
Yes.
All right.
It is art. Annie Kales has Ian Grant as a modern artist. Bee's Bakery and Bistro has Wooden Bowls by Chris Frary. Kyton has Stone Blades by Brian Shook. I think I'm saying that right. And they also have Michael Hunter's jewelry and Sarah Chatfield and Jim Hopkins stuff. The Downtown Library is going to be open on First Friday. They are having Terry Sloat, who's a children's author and illustrator. She's going to be talking about her book, The Eye of the Needle, and talking about visual art and story connecting with kids. The talk starts at 6. Fairweather Prints is open. They have some new styles that they're bringing in. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Franklin Street Gallery has, this is fun, the 10th annual Plain Rain calendar is going to be for sale, and you get to see the original paintings that they've drawn them from. And as well, they are kicking off their second annual artist open house thing, artist studios open house thing. So you go there, and I think there's 15 artists participating. You get the little map of where to go and all that sort of stuff. That's the Franklin Street Gallery. I think they have a wine tasting available as well. Hearthside Books has John Hyde signing the paperback release of his book, Romeo, The Story of an Alaskan Wolf. Heritage Coffee has Joanne George and gelato samples.
She says that Joanne was in here earlier this week, or just yesterday, and said that, yes, they're going to be giving out free gelato samples with the beautiful artwork that she does.
Yeah. Juno Artist Gallery, it's local appreciation weekend, 15 to 75% off everything. They're in the Senate building. As I mentioned to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, we have so much stuff going on, I can't even begin to think about it. New to Town, Khaki Shields and Ann Wedler have an exhibit that's going up right now. It's beautiful. Khaki's done photography and does I think, acrylics. And in the main hall, the Juno Symphony will have an exhibit of stuff from their celebrating their 50th anniversary, so old things. And the Juno Brass Quintet will be performing.
Old things?
Old things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old that
stuff.
Sounds good.
You know.
Just stuff.
Stuff from the files.
Nice.
You know? 50th anniversary. Think about that.
It's amazing. It really, for an institution in Juno, an art institution in Juno, 50
that's
years,
amazing.
It's great. That's older than K2.
That's older than K2. Tidal Echoes will be there if you're interested in learning more about that. The Juno City Museum has
Tidal Echoes is the literary magazine from the university,
yes,
right? And
yes.
Submitting, you can submit poems or art or things like that.
Yeah, so if you want information on that, they will be there. The Juno Douglas City Museum has the Alaska Native Brotherhood, a centennial celebration. And admission is free to the City Museum this month thanks to the Pioneers of Alaska Igloo 6, which is a nice little gift that you can give the community if you want to sometime.
I love that gift. I think that's a really great thing to pay the admittance for everyone in the town to get into the museum for a month. It's a great
way. I mean, think about
it.
People in your life who just really don't want anything. This is a nice thing that you could do for them. K2 is having a quilt exhibit, and they're beautiful.
They're already up. They're gorgeous.
And colorful and warm and all that sort of stuff. Paradise Cafe has photographs on canvas by Kelsey Kaiser. Rainforest Yoga is having a First Friday yoga tasting with Bev Ingram. That's at 5:15. Sequence Board Shop. Did you see the article in the newspaper today about Rico Worrell's painted snowboards? Beautiful.
They're beautiful. I'm a huge fan of Rico Worrell's work. He works in skateboards, too. He does skateboards and snowboards, and his skateboarding stuff is incredible. He'll do series of skateboards that are all part of one mural, and then he'll cut the skateboard out of the mural, and then so you have a piece
and
of a larger
else has a piece.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a very, very cool stuff.
So you can see that at the Sequence Board Shop, which is right at the intersection of Front and Franklin Street.
Right by the clock.
Right by the clock, across the street.
Yes.
Silver Bow Backroom has time for Rain, photography by Terry Tibbett. The Rookery has an exhibit called These Are the Paintings That Hang in My Living Room by Sarah Conneroe. And the canvas has new watercolors by Arnie Weimer. And then you can get all done with that and at 5 o'clock go out to the university. And there is an exhibit of 12 images by Joel Munday. Photography at
Color Photography is the name of the exhibit, and it's sort of is distinct from his black and white stuff he's done. So if you've seen his stuff he's done before, this is mostly color work that he's doing this time.
And that's at the bookstore, Ock Bay Bookstore by the sea.
And then you can come back.
Well, no, we're not there. We're not at 7 o'clock yet. I'm sorry. Keep it down. 6:30. There's beginning swing dancing at the Pavitts Health Club. So you go see the art exhibit, and then you go swing dancing, and then at 7 o'clock while you're out at the university, you can watch or listen to Linda Rosenthal, Art Roach, and Cal Wiley Pickett talk about big arts in a small town. That's at the Egan Lecture Hall. That's free. But you could also be staggering around in the cemetery.
Yes. The gathering of the zombies will begin tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, the zombie walk.
This is third annual, huh?
Third annual.
Can't keep them down.
Can't keep them down. They keep rising. They keep rising. Yes, the third annual zombie walk. They will be staggering from Evergreen Cemetery at 7 o'clock over downtown and invading First Friday, essentially.
So there you have it, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
If you have living flesh, I would run. I'd get out of here.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Or brains.
Now, 7:30, you got your chance to see Of Mice and Men again, but you could also go see Arsenic and Old Lace, which is happening out at Thunder Mountain High School. It's their drama class is doing it. One of my favorite. It's such an amusing story, you know. And the older I get, the more amusing
it
becomes.
It's a great play. Classic.
8 p.m. at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, the Jazz and Classics, Swingin' in the Rain with Barney McClure. They have 23 singers locally, or you could go out and do Beginning Merengue at Pavitts. At 9 p.m., Shadow Island Records presents Playboy's Spaceman.
This is exciting. This is George Kuhar and Bridget Kuhar together. They are Playboy Spaceman. They've put out a new EP called Tokyo, and this is going to be really exciting. And a great room, the Baranoff. They're going
to
be the Treadwell room in the Baranoff. Mm-hmm. So to see live music, they're going to be playing live music, having CD release party. There'll be a bar and all that stuff, and it'll be really fun.
Video stuff. Yeah. It's beautiful. I went online and listened to it today. It's wonderful. At 9:30, you could sit in with the band down at the Rendezvous. That's Jason Caputo. And at 10 p.m., Astronomar, he's going to be here for the weekend at the Alaskan Bar. He's at from 10 to 3 Friday and Saturday night. Do we have time to do Saturday?
We've got about 30 seconds for Saturday. What do you got for Saturday
in
30 seconds?
Well, let's skip Saturday and just remind everybody that on Tuesday, we have New York Polyphony coming.
Yes.
If I could just be...
Let's talk about New York Polyphony. Wonderful. And I would recommend going on YouTube and just typing in New York Polyphony and bringing up some of their videos. These four men with these amazing voices.
Amazing.
Just creating sounds that you just can't even understand how four people are making those incredible harmonies and sounds. So really worth
beautiful, beautiful a cappella men singing. Go, you are our website. I have one of the YouTube's
great
links, so you can go there. So that's all we get to talk about?
Maybe a little bit more.
Okay, well, let's see
throw
what's going on. We got the Arsenic. We have this, isn't it the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes week? I forgot that. Maybe that's next week. This week is the Run, Walk, Roll, Poker Run.
We just talked about that, so you don't have to
talk
about that. That's
Saturday
a very cool thing
there's
happening
an
in Twin Lakes.
Show at the Women of the Moose. Oh, I forgot to mention that the Red Dog is going to be open for First Friday as well.
Oh,
and they have
cool
arts and crafts there. Raisin Holy Hell is at the Rendezvous Bar. Sunday is the day where you get to go help them reshelve everything at the library downtown and eat pizza, which has always struck me as a bad thing.
Sounds good to me, though. But with that, we're going to have to end because we have to go to headlines for NPR News next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack.